As Anabaptists, we Mennonite brethren are known for and declare that we are people who are called to live lives of nonviolence. In our series on the Beatitudes, we now come upon Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's important to review the original context of the Beatitudes. In the first century in the Middle East, Rome is the superpower of the known Western world. Jesus comes on the scene with what he calls the gospel of God, or God's good news for the world. The writers of the gospels make a huge point of using this term, good news. Because at the time, Roman emperors were using this very word, good news, for Roman edicts, for their throne speeches. The Roman emperors thought of themselves as lords and saviors and redeemers of the world. And their authoritative messages to the whole empire were called good news. The idea was that what comes from the emperor is a saving message. It's not just another piece of news. Rather, it was news that would change the world for the better. And so when the writers of the New Testament use the word good news, gospel, and in the Greek, it's euangelion, when they use that word in relation to Jesus, what they are really saying to us is what the emperors who pretend to be gods and illegitimately claim is actually being lived out in Christ Jesus. The real Lord, the real emperor of this world, he is the living God, this Jesus of Nazareth. And so Jesus comes on the scene with God's good news, his great news. It is time the kingdom of God has come near. And Jesus shares this good news. In other words, Jesus evangelizes. Euangelion, evangelism. Same root of the word. Matthew tells us that Jesus heals all kinds of diseases. He frees people from all kinds of evil and slavery. And he forgives sins. He welcomes all sorts of broken people into his own family. And you'll find that in Matthew 4. And then Jesus speaks his beatitudes, his announcements, his good news. Jesus is giving incredible dignity to ordinary people who are really broken and declaring us, plain old broken people, that we will be makers of peace. And so the question is, what is peace? When we hear the word peace, what does that conjure up? And we have alluded to some of that this morning. For most folk, it might mean an inner tranquility or a peace of mind. Or maybe it might even mean an absence of war. We've just heard news in the Middle East that the leader of ISIS has been killed. Maybe there will be some peace because he's no longer alive. And now the biblical concept of peace certainly does include those things, inner tranquility, peace of mind, absence of war, but it goes far deeper than that. Behind the word used in Matthew 5:9 is the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. Shalom is life as God intended it to be. It means soundness and wellness and well-being and wholeness. Life that includes well-rounded, holistic existence. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. It includes harmony with the earth, harmony with other human beings, and harmony with oneself. And most importantly, harmony with the living God. Peace, or shalom, encompasses every dimension of life. Economic, including political, as well as the personal and the religious, the whole gambit includes all of life. And so from the perspective of the Bible, silencing the guns or sheathing the swords does not mean that peace has come. That's only one aspect of it. By the Bible's standard, feeling good on the inside does not mean peace has come. Peace comes when the causes of strife are healed. We've heard about root causes. Well, peace comes when the root causes of strife are healed. Now, the biblical concept of peace involves so much more than the inner tranquility, the peace of mind, the absence of war. Shalom encompasses every aspect of our lives. And Isaiah 11 will say, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. That is shalom. Isaiah continues to say in chapter 35, the wilderness and the desert will be glad. It will blossom profusely. The eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. That is shalom, life just bursting forth. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That is shalom. And in Ephesians, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. That is shalom. Continuing in Ephesians, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. A picture of the church. That is shalom. And finally in Revelation, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, there will be no longer any mourning, no crying or pain. That is shalom. All of this is shalom. It is all peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. We who are ordinary, some of us wounded, all of us broken in different ways. We are the makers of shalom? How puzzling is that? Because only the living God can make shalom. Only God himself can make this kind of peace. How can we manufacture that? Yet Jesus calls those whom he calls to himself shalom makers. Now, that should be something that is worth celebrating. God and Jesus and his good news, when his message gets a hold of a person, a people, a community, and finally a nation, something happens. Ordinary, broken people become partners, participants, really, in divine work, God's work. Such dignity is given to us. And this announces that something's happening. This work of peacemaking announces that the kingdom of God is actually advancing. So why is peacemaking a signpost of the kingdom of God? The Bible declares that Jesus of Nazareth is shalom himself. Jesus is peace personified. Isaiah 9:6 says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Zechariah 9 says, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations. What kind of warring general is this, entering on a donkey instead of a 16-hand war horse? In other words, Jesus is the one, capital O, who announces God's good news, his euangelion, his evangel. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who speaks shalom into being. Peacemaking is a signpost of the kingdom of God because the kingdom is a kingdom of peace. The new world order has come near, and it is an order of peace. It's an order of shalom. In Jesus, we see the wholeness and the well-being for which we are originally created. In Jesus' actions, we see restoration of harmony with the living God, restoration of harmony with others, and restoration of harmony with ourselves, and restoration of harmony with the earth. We see things come to life, and new life is breathed into people and the creation. And when his new world order begins, we cannot help but be shalom lovers, shalom seekers. And yet, Jesus says that we become even more than just shalom lovers and shalom seekers. We become shalom makers. Such dignity given to us by such a gracious God. So what does this peacemaking look like where we live? Well, it can look like a lot of things, and we've alluded to a number of these things this morning. I've chosen Romans 12, 9 to 21 to illustrate and give peacemaking some flesh lived out. And so, brothers and sisters, as we live out the message of Jesus, we are following in Jesus' footsteps. This passage is filled with encouragements and exhortations for us to extend dignity to one another. So take a quick look with me now. If you haven't opened your Bibles to this passage, and I invite you to open to it now and just scan that. I don't have to go into a discussion into every single one of those actions, but here is an incomplete, non-comprehensive list found in Romans 12, an invitation to us to respond to this peace that is growing within us. And how is it going to be expressed through our own hands and feet, and truly with how we think? Now, this passage seems to have a lot of to-dos in it, but really what Paul is getting at with all this verbiage, good verbiage, is really a posture. How we approach the people within our lives and how we approach the world that we live in. It's a posture. This posture is one of allowing God to be God. It's a posture of allowing God to be Almighty God, Lord, not just Savior of our lives. It is a posture of laying down our right to do what we want, despite what our Charter of Human Rights in Canada here, which is very generous. It gives us many human rights. And yet this posture is a posture of laying down our right to do what we want, and instead to do what God wants, which sometimes contravenes what we want to do. The interesting thing is that as we participate and practice this posture, we become utterly dependent upon God. We do things in His strength. We become transformed from ordinary, wounded, broken people into people who truly know who we are, God's children. People who have been given dignity by Him. And in so doing, we respond by giving dignity back to everyone whom we encounter. There is a cost to this peacemaking, this shalom making. I've alluded to it already. Shalom making or peacemaking involves sacrifice. It involves a cross that we see here. And how can it be otherwise? How else did God make peace with us? Peacemaking is the way of the cross. It is dying to oneself, dying to one's own ambitions, one's own self-wills, one's own right to do whatever he or she pleases, and to be whoever he or she pleases. Instead, we do what God wants. Instead, we become who God has called us to be. There is sacrifice. It involves a cross. And somewhere along the way, we have come to terms with the fact that the cross is not only the source of our new life in Christ, but is also the pattern of our new life in Christ. The Prince of Peace, who is our peace, says to us, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he or she must deny themselves and take up their own cross daily and follow me." That's in Luke 9. Shalom is made and experienced through the cross. Through the cross flows the blood that heals the wounds. And so what does peacemaking look like? Well, it all depends on who we are individually and as a body, where we're at. And so just as importantly, it all happens one step at a time, step by step. We've sung of that before. It happens by you and I making shalom in all the very little ways in our corners of the world, where we work, where we play and live and recreate. Here's some little practical steps of peacemaking that we may even take today. And if you want to remind yourselves of that, take note of this. First of all, number one, we can affirm our identity in Christ Jesus. We have been given tremendous dignity in being called God's children. We are co-heirs with Christ. That means we are children of the King. Do you understand? We are royalty in God. We can affirm our identity in Jesus. Number two, we can affirm our vocation or our calling, who we're called to be peacemakers. The author of Shalom is our Father, which makes us sisters and brothers of the Prince of Peace. Folks, we are princes and princesses of peace as well. So we are partners in this great work of Jesus. Number three, Nabil challenged us last week to examine our hearts. Peacemaking can involve us acknowledging any resistance to God in our hearts. We can ask God to be God and then let him be God. And we can acknowledge that we need to let him be God, laying down our right to self-determination. That's quite controversial in our society today. What does it mean to be a child of God? To lay down our right to be what we want to be and to do what we want to do. Instead, to do what God has asked us to do and to live into what he has called us to be. Number four, we can acknowledge any anger in our hearts. Friends, many of us carry anger, and sometimes it's masked. It's just masked pain. We carry anger against others, maybe anger against ourselves. It's hard for us to forgive ourselves. And some of us are angry with God. And that's okay. He's big enough for that. But sometimes we need to let that anger go. We need to find healthy ways to express it and to share it that will bring us closer to God, not pull us farther away from him. And so we can ask God to heal the anger resident within us. And we don't have to be so spiritual. We sometimes just need to go to a therapist, to a counselor. And I can speak as one who's personally used them. They are a blessing, God's gift to us. Let's continue. We can also further acknowledge any fear in our hearts. Fear holds us back from much of what God has for us. Friends, if we can acknowledge any fear and ask Jesus to overcome it, we begin to live life in many different ways. When we live without fear, we replace that with love instead. Imagine instead of fear being the basis of our actions, or fear being the basis of a posture, it's love. It's very transformative. And finally, we can affirm the good news of Jesus Christ again and again and again, not just to people around us, but to ourselves. That God loves us. Remind ourselves that God dearly loves us. We can say with Jesus then, and we can join his words, it is time for the kingdom of God to come near through us. Let it begin in us, the people that we're looking at in the mirror. Reaffirming the good news of Jesus, it revives our perspective. It reminds us, it revives our courage. It revives our joy and our hope. Friends, the kingdom has come. It is coming. Nothing can stand in the way of God's kingdom. Shalom is coming. It's on the move. Peace is on the move. Easter morning guarantees that, and Jesus' resurrection declares aloud that shalom is on its way. For the Prince of Peace has defeated the greatest enemy of peace, which is death. Friends, shalom is coming. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to pray as those serving communion, Karen, come forward, and the worship team as they rejoin me up on the stage. Would you bow with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, for giving us the dignity to be called your brothers and sisters, your co-laborers in shalom making. Thank you, Lord God, for making us something new, something beautiful and cherished and beloved. So, Lord, we ask that you continually remind us of our identity in you, that you love us, that we are your dearly beloved children, that we are your co-makers of peace. Lord, help us to let you be you. And so we ask that you identify in our hearts any resistance to what you're doing in us. We acknowledge the anger and the fear that we carry and the fear that holds us captive. And we ask that you overcome these things that keep us from who we really are in you. And so, Lord, we ask that you continue to fill us up with love so much that it overflows from us. Lord, you are indeed on the move. And so, as we have prayed before, may your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.